But just really take it easy, listen to my body. We all have aches and pains. Is your right calf bothering you, or is your left hamstring bothering you? You just really have to pay attention to that. Get some PT work, do a little extra stretching, get on your foam roller and try to get all those knots and take care of it. But just really take it easy. I don't do a lot of speed work. Unfortunately, that's one reason my times have gone down a little bit. But my strength is pretty important to me right now. Now, if something happens and I, end up not continuing it, I don't think I'll try another one. But right now I'm going out every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance, whether you're running an ultramarathon or just living your life. I'm Eric Dieter, your host. I am an ultramarathon runner. And when we trail runners get together, we never know where the conversation might lead. So if you're ready, let's get started. My guest this week is John Crum. John was my very first guest on this podcast in this form. I had a few people that I talked to that were on Facebook Live, but the first ones that I put onto the podcast, this format, was John the first one. So I think I got confused when I talked to him and said I think he was the second guest. You may hear that in the episode. But he was actually the very first guest. And when I talked to him back 2 years ago, he was on a run streak. He is still on his run streak. He runs at least a mile every day, no matter what. He started his streak in the 15th of November, 2015. And when we recorded this, he had 2,681 days that he had run continuously at least a mile a day. In that time, he's run 33 marathons and ultras as well, including 100 miles. So if you've ever run 100 miles, you know how hard it is to move the next day. John was out the next day to at least do his mile to keep the streak alive. I hope you enjoy listening in as John Crum comes back for a second episode in the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. Here's my conversation with John Crum. People usually pick up the podcast in the middle of middle, and don't go clear back to episode number two. So, yeah. Talk a little bit about how did you get started as a runner? I know you've got some good stories to tell, but what was the beginning point for you to say, "Oh, I'm going to go start running"?
Well, it's been a while. It all started. I actually lost my dad about 19 years ago. He passed away, and I was in real. I was about over 300 pounds, had really bad blood pressure. And that following 4th of July, I was in back in 2002. My son was only my second born. My son was only 5 months old. So that following 4th of July, you just have a 4th of July kind of gluttony. I was like, man, I just don't feel good. So after that, I really started watching what I ate. I started a walking program, we're talking half mile, very short distances. Mm-hmm. And I lost, started losing weight, and I really watched what I ate. And I, over time, I was losing weight, and I was actually, I could walk farther. And then that, after about 6 months to a year, I believe I started, just doing short bursts of running, like from here to the next stoplight or whatever it may be. And then I just started running a little bit more. My first official race, that was in probably 2003. My first official race was the Gobbler Grind Half Marathon in 2004. That had been in November of 2004. That was my first race. And then I did my first marathon, the Olathe Marathon. I think it was the second year they actually had it, which actually started in Gardner, Kansas, and then ended up in Olathe in 2005. I finished it. I did everything wrong. I thought I'd break 4 hours and Did everything wrong, and a fellow runner, an older guy that had been running for a while, saw me on the course, and he saw that I was in distress, and he put me under his wing and got me to the finish line. And then I didn't do any marathons in 2006, and then I started 2007. I did two marathons, and then so forth. About every year, I would do at least one, or not, if not two, one in the spring, one in the fall, and then, and then I did about two marathons a year until about 2014, and that's when I did, I think, four marathons that year.
Wow.
And I think 2000, either 2014 or 2015, I did my first ultra. I did the Brew to Brew solo, and I think I did it the following year. And now I'm doing 4 to 6 marathons a year, 4 to 6 marathons slash ultras a year. Last year I did 6 marathons. I did 6 total races, 3 marathons, I think, a 50K, a 50 miler, and a 100K. Yeah, I'm done about officially. I think I did a 50K this past Saturday, the Prairie Spirit in Ottawa, Kansas, and that was my 56th official marathon or ultra.
Wow. Oh, so what was the appeal? What was the appeal of marathons? What, I mean, you said
It's just
you started off
just
walking
it's
as
yeah okay I did I first half and a marathon really just the bigness of it, something to tr you know a something big to train for, and I thought it'd be one and done, but just something, something, you can put on a calendar and start training for. I had, I think, a 18-week, training schedule for it, and just the grandness of a marathon, just to say you could do it. And that, and then ever since, I like to do, challenge myself. I call myself, now that I keep getting older, like we all do, I'm an below average, middle age, fluffy, runner. I'm not very fast. Any speed I may have, has left me. But I just like to have challenges. Last year I did the Bear Lake Trifecta. It was 3 marathons in 3 days. I got it done. A lot of it, with runners, and you've experienced this probably on your ultras, it's more mental than physical. You have to have that can't quit attitude, and you just, I like going big. I like a new challenge. If it be a 100K or 3 marathons in 3 days, I want, I did the Bataan Death March in the heavy division, which you carry a 35-pound pack for, in a marathon. I just want something that challenges me, and it doesn't have to be easy. I don't care if I'm getting a PR in my next race. That doesn't interest me at all. I want the experience. I want the atmosphere. I want, to run with my friends. So that's what keeps me going.
Because I know a lot of people, they are one and done with a marathon, or they, they'll get into it for a while and then gradually fade away. And so that's why I was wondering, what was it that kept you going? Before you said, you would kind of, what made the switch? I mean, because your previous life, you said you were kind of out of shape, and you kind of got in, made this gradual progression. What was the switch that kind of,
Well, and losing my dad got me to switch to, get in better shape. Before I started running in 2003, 2004, running a 5K was, just, crazy talk. I don't know why that running's become part of my life. It just has. It's not easy. It's not necessarily fun when it's, when it's rainy or cold, or it's, in the middle of the summer. It's just, it's just who I've become. I've become a runner. I may not be great at it, but it's who I've become. So.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you get to that point where you really feel like you're almost you miss it if you don't. Now you've done something that's a little bit unusual, and the last time I talked to you, I can't remember where you were on your streak, but you've continued a run streak. I mean, you had, I think it was 2 years ago, you'd been doing it for several years already.
Yep.
And you're still doing it.
Yep. I'm still streaking. As of today, I'm at 2,681 days. I started the Tuesday before Thanksgiving in 2015. So that was actually, I looked it up. It was November 15, 2015 is when I started my streak. And I didn't think, I thought it might go 30 days, who knows. And then, each day I get up and I made it a year. And then then I had to have that self-talk. Do I want to continue after a year? And I've just kept it up. I've done officially during my streak, I have done 33 marathons or ultras during that time. That includes 100-miler, 200Ks. I really try to listen to my body. My minimum is 1 mile. So okay. I usually do midweek. I run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 to 5, maybe 3 to 7 miles a day. My off days or quote unquote, my easy days, those are Friday and then also Monday. So I just do a mile on those days. So I can take it easy before and after my long runs on Saturday and Sunday.
So one of the things that I've wondered about is I guess your body adapts to it, but you said you ran 100. How do you get out the next day?
It's very hard. I'll have to admit, it's very hard. I might take a couple weeks off after a race and maybe just do the bare minimum. I'm just doing a mile, every day, and it may not be a fast, again, my runs aren't fast. It may not be a fast mile, but it'll be a continuous run motion. I don't do any walking during my 1 mile streak savers is what I call them. But just really take it easy, listen to my body. We all have aches and pains. Is your right calf bothering you, or is it your left hamstring bothering you? You just really have to pay attention to that. Get some PT work, do a little extra stretching, get on your foam roller and try to get all those knots and take care of it. Just really take it easy. I don't do a lot of speed work. Unfortunately, that's one reason my times have gone down a little bit. But my streak is pretty important to me right now. Now, if something happens and I, end up not continuing it, I don't think I'll try another one. But right now I'm going out every day.
Mm-hmm. And I remember about a year ago, I saw something you had on Facebook. And just like, I think I'm gonna take a day off.
Yeah, and I did. I posted that on actually April Fool's Day. I said, yeah, I'm gonna take a day.
Yeah,
off.
And I kind of looked at it and went, really? and then I realized what day it was. It was like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. that you got several of us going on that day. So
yeah.
So what, I mean, you've done, talk a little bit about how you do that during vacation, because you have to work that in. Mm-hmm. And it's like you just got back from a cruise
we just got back from a 7-day cruise. And I ran every day on the cruise, like just normal running. I get it done first thing in the morning. That way, that's probably my key in streaking, is just do it first thing. That way things don't come up, your honeydews, your work obligations, you just don't feel like it. Or I've seen where a couple of people that have lost their streaks because they just forgot about it. But I got up every day on my cruise. Before I even ate breakfast, I went out and did, I averaged probably 3 to 7 miles on the cruise. But yep, I got it done every day, first thing in the morning.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing you one time on a cruise, your watch, it actually showed because you were,
oh yeah, I wore my trusty Garmin, of course, because we're runners, we want to download everything and and record everything. So I used my Garmin, and when I got back home, I download everything to Garmin Connect, and it showed that I ran for about an hour and a half, I believe, and I had done a 50K, and it measured this, measured the boat was going. So my average minute was about a 3-minute mile, and I did a 50K, which was the world record, of course. So I'm seeing if I can get that in the Guinness, but I'm
It was one of those things. I've got a Coros watch, and I forgot to stop it after a run.
So you
And
probably drove home and
I drove to the entrance of the park, and it beeped for the next mile. It beeped, it beeps every, so beeped to the next mile. I was like, oh, I forgot to turn my watch off. And it says, you've set a new record for the 440. I was thinking, if I ever go back and try to, if I'm doing any speed work, I've already shot, shot my
So
chances of
yeah,
keeping.
so I have a, it'll tell me when I broke, I have a personal best. So yes, I have a personal best 50K now, and I don't think I'll ever break it.
Unless you get a faster ship next year. That's good. So what do you do for keeping yourself healthy as far as because I know a lot of runners suffer. I mean, a lot of runners have to take time off just because of injuries. And so if you're streaking, what's kind of your strategy to keep from getting injured so you can't run?
Slow, easy miles for me at least. Things, during the streak, especially in the past 3 years, I streaked through COVID. I had COVID a couple times, and I'd go out and just do my bare minimum mile. I've streaked through vertigo, sinus infections. I've had a couple minor ailments, just tight IT bands, some stiff legs, but just really have to listen to your body and know when you need to cut back the mileage. If you're really not feeling it that day and you're quote unquote doing junk miles, you might just cut it, cut it short that day because you're just not feeling it. You're not getting any benefits really from going those extra couple miles. I've done that on runs where, you just cut it short.
So what do you have anything special you have to do for nutrition to keep, to keep yourself healthy?
Well, if you could come by at night and knock the fork out of my mouth, I would appreciate it. But no, I really, I do drip drop at night, which is just a hydration packet. I think that's helping me keep hydrated. Really just eat a balanced meal, but other than probably hydration's my biggest weakness because I like my Diet Coke, but just everything in balance.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So I was curious. You said you just finished the Heartland,
No, I
this
did
last week.
the Prairie Spirit,
Prairie Spirit.
Prairie
Yeah,
Spirit 100.
I always get those
Yep.
two.
Yeah, Heartland's coming up, I think, this week, if I recall.
Yeah, I
No,
was
wait,
confused.
that's the Rock and Case coming up this week, and then Heartland, I think, is the first week in May.
Heartland's in okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always I those names all kind of run together, and
Yes.
I can't keep straight which one is. So the Prairie Spirit is the is a rail to trail, right?
It's the Rails and Trails from Ottawa. For the 50K, we went to from Ottawa south to Richmond and back. I really love that course. I've done the spring version. I think that I've done the spring. I've done 350 Ks in the spring, and I've done the fall version. I've done, I think, six races. The fall version has a half a marathon, 50K, 50 miler, 100K, and 100 miler. And I've done the 50K like four times, the 50 miler once, the 100K twice, and the 100 miler once there. So I really like that course.
So what do you have coming up? Do you have
I have the Mile Zero Flint Hills race, which is out of Osawatomie. It's the second year running that. I'm doing the 50K in April 15th, so in 3 weeks. So I'll really have to. I'm going to try to do a 20 miler this week, see how I feel, and then, you know, maybe another 15 next week, and then race day. After that, I'm really trying to put a trying to really, you know, I need to put a schedule to put a schedule my races on my calendar. I'm going to, like you, one of my you do a better job than this than I do is volunteer, and I don't think you are a true ultra runner unless you're a volunteer and you're a crew member. And I need to give back and volunteer. So I'm gonna do the Nighthawk volunteer again. And after that, I'm looking at possibly doing either the Hawk again, the Hawk 50 mile. That's a tough course for me. I'm not a strong trail runner. I mean, I like trails, but I am not a strong trail runner. So I'm gonna try to do the 50 there. If not, I might do the Iron Will, which is unfortunately on the same day out in Chapman, put
It
on ice.
still is again this year.
Yeah, it's the same day. It's put on by Iron Will Sprouse out in Chapman. So I may do that. I really want to do new races. I haven't done that. I'm not saying that there's not races I'll do every year that I just love, but I'm new challenges. So I'm looking at the calendar and seeing what races I can get in there. I like to get at least 4 to 6 races in. Might sneak in 100K. Still debating if I'll try another 100 miler. Yeah, what races do you have coming up?
I haven't got schedule, have not put anything on my schedule yet, but the ones that I want to do, I'd like to do the Nighthawk again. As I'm going to do the Hawk 50 this year. And then one that I'm going to say I'm going to do it is Across the Ears, which is
Oh,
the
I'll have to look at that. I'll have to. Is that an ultra sign up?
That is an ultra. Yes, it's an ultra sign up.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that one.
Across the Ears is in Phoenix,
Okay.
and so it's this. I'm considering whether I'm going to do the 48 hour or the 6 day,
Ooh, okay.
and so
Yep.
different. It would be a different strategy. I've gotten slow enough that I'm thinking for 100 miles I need more than the traditional cutoff time, and so several. Of
I
people who've gotten
understand.
older, you know, that
I get that. That's one reason I'm looking at Iron Will because it has a 36-hour cutoff.
wow, okay.
And yeah, so that's one reason I'm looking at that, but it's unfortunately on the same day as the Hawks, so I have to make some decisions.
Yeah, and I know that last year the attendance at the Hawk was the signups at the Hawk were lower just because of the fact that you know, in the there's gotten to be a lot of 100 mile options in the fall. And you know, it used to be that the Hawk 100 was kind of, you know, one of the, you know, there didn't have a lot of competition. Now there's races on either end of it, and also the Iron Will is the same weekend. Yeah, looking at the Hawk 100, I'd love to try to go back and finish that and get it, but you know, everything has to come together right. And
Yeah, that's not an easy course.
I'm slower now than I was, you know, 5 years ago.
I understand.
And so I'm thinking, so I need about 36 hours to do 100 miles. And so I'm thinking a 48 hour and timed race kind of intrigues me. And so Across the Years is on sidewalks. I mean, it's flat. It's a training camp. It's a training. It's in where one of the Major League Baseball fields has a training camp there. And so it's a mile loop. And so yeah, that challenge, it's going to be a mental challenge more than is a physical challenge. So I'm thinking 48 hour to do that. And so
I've only done one timed event, and that was this past year's Cactus Roulette, and that's in, it's a different, even though that is not your typical timed event, but it's a different challenge, you know, and I kind of like the aspect of a timed event versus your normal race. So I might have to look into more of those myself.
And Cactus Roulette was a race that was different enough. I mean, it was timed, but there were three different loops. Mm-hmm. And so, instead of running the same loop over and over and over, you mm-hmm. had to spin the roulette wheel and see which loop you were going to run next. Mm-hmm. And then, but you still ran for time. And so,
yeah, it was a great race put on by Todd Chandler and, a couple other Lawrence Trailhawks. You were actually one of the volunteers there that was there all 30 yeah, I, hours or 24
well, it was
hours?
24 hours, yeah. Yeah, I got there just as it started, yeah.
Yeah, that was a very good race. It well run. If anyone's listening to this and wants to do a unique race in January, I would definitely look at the Cactus Roulette.
Yeah, and that's I like the concept. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
fun to do. And so, did you run a 12-hour?
No, I just did the 6 hours. I am not a big fan of the cold, and I knew running through the night would be hard, especially with that cold front that actually came through. I'm glad I just did the 6 hours. I might be where I may in future aspects. Future races of it make a game time decision on if I would, you know, bump up from the 6 hours to a 12 hour or mm-hmm. the 24 hour option. But I really like that race.
Yeah. And the interesting thing was the inaugural race was last year and it was mild temperatures. I think it got down to the mm-hmm. 40s overnight.
Yeah.
And, it was in the 50s during the day and, but you know January in Kansas. Yep. You never know.
You never know.
And so this year it started out was in the mm-hmm. 50s during the day because the race starts at noon.
Yep.
And then by the nighttime the temperatures started to drop and dropped down to where the wind and the wind picked up. It was very windy. So the yep. wind chill was overnight -4 degrees or something like that.
Those runners that were out there during those cold spell and especially for long times they're. You know, that takes great mental fortitude plus good gear and, you know, making sure yeah. you have, you know, you change into the proper gear when you need it. But yeah.
Yeah. And that was, you know, the people who ran overnight, I mean, they were very, very tough and it just, yep. it was, we were there trying to keep the water from freezing. It was like, there was a lot of challenges on the support for it too. But yeah, it is a very unique race and you know, January in Kansas, you really never know what the weather's going to be.
No, correct. But again, I'm going to look at trying new races as well as volunteer more and crew more, for runners. Because you need to give back, you just can't take and also I think you learn stuff, you know, by volunteering and helping out other runners. You learn what can maybe help you. Like what is the name of your the waist light that you wear?
The raw
it starts
Kogala.
With a K.
Kogala. Yeah. Kogala, yes. Yeah.
Like I would have never known about that. I mean, that your waist belt, that light is amazing, and it gives out so much light and running in the dark and on trails. That would be very beneficial, and I would have never known that if I didn't see you. And you know, seeing what you know, nutrition that people use, and you know, I think can really help you as a runner, and also the mental fortitude that you see. Runners of all ages have, it gives you energy. It gives you, why can't I do it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing that I like about volunteering is you get to help people because you've been, you know, especially if you've been a runner, you know, kind of what they're going through and what they need. And you know, I appreciate that.
And it makes for a long day, you know, volunteering, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to be out there and, you know, seeing the energy and, you know, people laughing and, you know, having a good time, you know, and you have fun with other volunteers. So it's not all work. You know, there is some fun aspects of volunteering. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been interesting. So, ever thought about being a race director?
I I would like to. I don't think I have the energy and the expertise to do it. I may co-race direct some things, but I think you're race directing the snake, correct?
I'm race directing the snake, yeah.
How
So
I saw that. What day is that by chance?
that's
Day of the week.
July 22nd to Saturday.
Okay, got it. I'll see what my schedule is because I'd love to help volunteer for you.
Okay, yeah, it's a great race, and
I
yeah,
did it the
I'm
very
excited about it.
first year when I did it 1 year when I did the the race that I did everything. I can't think what they call that now. When I did all the
Oh
races in the
yeah,
trail.
the Golden
The
Hawk,
Golden Hawk.
yeah,
Yeah, I did that one the first
Lawrence,
year of the Golden Hawk. Yeah.
yeah. For those who aren't don't live close, it's the Lawrence Trailhawks Club. They have it's a if you do I think all the races on the calendar for the calendar year, it's the you get you can sign up for this. It's called the Golden Hawk, and it's a special recognition for having run all their
And
races.
what I like about it is the challenges because there, you have a couple 5Ks. I never run a 5K. You have a couple short races, fast races. You have a night race in the Nighthawk. You have the Hawk where you can run and, a marathon, 50 mile or 100 mile. You have all these different type of races. So it gets you out of your comfort zone. And I'm glad I did the Golden Hawk that very first year.
Yeah, and I think the Outlaw Trail Runners group has something similar. They're based in, or the most of their races are in Oklahoma.
Yes, I
And
want to try. I'm definitely looking at my calendar for next year for at least one outlaw race because some of those races are not easy. And they don't and they and they they don't care if you like they want to if you want an easy course or not. I'm going to definitely look at doing a an outlaw race down in Oklahoma.
Yeah, if you want a challenging 100 miler, the Outlaw 100 is it's a very, very tough race.
I've heard it's the Hawk on steroids. I mean, I've heard it's not an easy race.
Well, if you would blend the Hawk with Leadville, you'd kind of have that course.
And that that's good. You need challenges. You can't have everything cookie coated. You need
Yeah.
that. The hard it, what the hard is what makes it fun. And
Yes, yeah, and the Outlaw 100 is there's more elevation in 100 miles than there is at Leadville. I mean, it's spread out differently, but there's a lot of up and down. I mean, Oklahoma is not flat in everywhere you go, and yeah, it's a very tough course. And there's a from my perspective, there were places that I didn't look like it was there all that runnable. I mean, there was a lot of hiking involved just
And
because there's so many rocks and so much up and down.
it's almost a different sport, the elite athletes that run the whole course, especially on these technical courses. But there's a lot of power hiking and long distance, and that you just get through it. But yes, I'm definitely looking on trying some new races and outlaw series are where I'm going to start looking.
Yeah, they have the Dark and Dirty, which is about the same time as the Nighthawk, and so
That's a night race, correct?
it's a night race as well. Yeah, and it's a 50K, and so yeah, that was one that I had looked at. At least got a cool medal. I looked at it,
It's all
it's like
about the bling. I hear
it's
you.
on my list. And the Tejas Trails is based in Texas, and they've got some good races. They also have a night race that's down by Marble Falls, Texas, and it's a 50K, and it's in July. So Taos Trails is the one that does Band they do Bandera is kind of their big race, and
And I may have you, did you, you were going to do, I don't know if you completed, did you do Javelina?
I did the Javelina Jackass.
Okay, yes.
Which is a 20 mile loop. And so,
yeah.
Which is, that's, if you want to just get in on the atmosphere of Javelina,
yep,
that's a good one to do, because you don't have to worry about time. You start at 6 o'clock at night, and running in the desert is amazing. And, you know, just, you got to see the sun go down as it started, just as we started, and was out there just, you know, going through the desert in the trails, and the sunset, and then it got dark, and then the party atmosphere of the Javelina.
That's what I hear. I hear it's just a wild experience. I know a few fellow hawks have done it, and it just, everything I've heard, everything I've seen and read, all the pictures I've seen, it's just a crazy, wild, fun atmosphere. So I think I may save my my Arizona state and to do my marathon or longer for Javelina, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good race, and yeah, and the 100K is probably I don't know if they have varied cutoff times.
Yeah.
But you know, the 100K would be definitely doable if they give you the same amount of time as you do to finish the 100.
Yeah.
In fact, I finished with a lady who was on finishing her 100K. We were in the last, you know, 2 or 3 miles together. She's actually been a guest on the podcast.
Okay.
Got acquainted with her. And found that she broke a rib on her first loop
and kept at it.
She was 15 miles in or something like that, and fell and broke a rib. And then she ran the rest of it with a broken rib. So
that, what tenacity.
And she never mentioned it when we were out on the trail, when we were talking, have a conversation. You know, it was only afterwards I read her race report. And she talked about that she'd broken rib, and I'm like,
one thing I love doing. I love reading other people's race reports, especially, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, you can glean a lot from race reports, and that is the thing about running. You know, there's people of all ages and sizes and abilities, you know, that can put remarkable performance in, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's everybody's different. I mean, everybody has different experiences. Well, and every race is different too.
How the weather was, you know, was it muddy? Was it rainy? You know, like we were talking earlier, Cactus Run last year versus this year, weather was a big difference, you know, and you know, it changes everything.
Well, and you know, the you're talking about the Hawk, the year I ran the Hawk to try to run 100 miles, I was doing great, and then it rained, and I was doing fine in the rain. But after 3 hours later, the rain had soaked in, and the trails got slippery, and you couldn't.
And that was probably was that during the nighttime too?
No. Well, the rain came about 3 a.m, and
okay.
It was like it dumped buckets.
Yeah.
And then it stopped, and but the trails were wet, and it was after 6 a.m. on my final loop, and it was you just couldn't move. And then the year after COVID, it was 95 degrees, 98 degrees heat humidity, even in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you know, runners were dropping like flies, and then so last year I volunteered, and we had rain again, and it was freezing cold in the middle of the night. And so you never know what the weather's going to do, and that's the real challenge of running.
I love that course, but it's a difficult course, and then you get out there at night and you throw in rain and everything, it can be crazy.
So I may try 100 out there again sometime, but I'm really gonna have to work on my speed to know that I can beat the cutoff. So that is cool. So you think that you know, as far as you know, you're going to continue your streak?
I'm going to keep streaking as long as I can physically. In the grand schemes of things, you take out racing, it's not that bad, because you're really running 5 days a week with just 2 days that you're doing 1 mile. So, that aspect, but when you throw in racing into it, besides just, daily things that come up and, daily commitments and, health and, it can be a little challenging and daunting, but once my streak is done, I don't think I'll continue, that's for sure. I don't see a, any coming up anytime soon that I'll be stopping, but you never know.
So you were doing a walk run strategy. Is that still something you're still? Because you
I
and I ran a
typically
short. We ran a little bit together on the Nighthawk a couple years ago, and
Well, when you can on a true trail, I mean the course dictates your pace and what you're running. But road races and or an easier course, yes, I definitely do a run walk ratio, yes.
So do you do that in training as well?
I like it, especially for for my long runs, I'll do like a 3 to 1, 4 to 1 ratio, 3 minute, 1 minute walk, that type of thing. But yeah, I'll incorporate that into my training. It really just makes me able to go that much farther and also be able to sustain my pace and everything. Yeah.
So do you monitor your heart rate to judge, or
I
do you
don't
just by
monitor
perceived
my
up
no,
heart?
although my Garmin, I can look at that, but I just really just put it in my Garmin, the run walk, just and you can put it with your Garmin whatever ratio you want, but I just really do it more by feel and how I'm feeling. When you're going up a hill, you'll be slowing down. When you're going down a hill or flat, you'll speed up a little bit.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, I have a couple of questions before we go. I call these the bridge questions.
Who approacheth the bridge of death must answer me these questions three. The other side he see.
Ask me the questions, bridge keeper. I'm not afraid.
So what is your must-have piece of gear when you run?
Besides my Garmin,
Well,
I'd be
that's
I, I'd
gear.
be I'll be It'd feel weird without having my watch. Let me see here. Without my Garmin. And good pair of shoes. Let me see. Well, for any type of long run, it'd be my hydration pack. I think you have to, be able to hydrate well, especially if you're going any type of distance. I have a handheld, which I don't mind using on short runs. But anything long or especially technical, I like having my hands free. So hydration pack, I would say is a must have on my runs.
Okay. Second question is, what is the weirdest thing that you've seen when you've been out running?
I would say, I don't know if it's necessarily weird. I question if I was hallucinating or not during my 100 mile or my one and only 100 miler in the middle of the night. It was after Garnett, which so that'd be after 77 miles. So it's probably in the mid 80s. I don't know if I had reached 90 mile mark at that time. I saw an armadillo cross the path in front of us, and I questioned if I saw it or not, but I did have a pacer with me. And he told me that I actually saw it. So yes, an armadillo in the middle of the night in Kansas. On my 100 miler, yes, that'd be the weirdest thing.
There are a few armadillos in Kansas. I don't know that I have not seen them in Kansas City yet, but
Well, in Ottawa, it's not that far away, so but it was on the across the rail to trail in front of us, so yeah.
I've seen them south of Kansas City, but yeah, you don't have to go very far south. It's like we're just almost on the border, so. So, third question is, what is the word or phrase that sums up your philosophy of life and running?
Relentless forward motion. You just have to keep putting one step, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Just keep going. Don't let anything stop you. And that or suck it up, buttercup, because it ain't going to be easy.
So. Those are good ones. Those are good ones. Hey, John, thank you a lot. Oh, if somebody wanted to follow your progress or connect with you, how would they connect with you?
I guess Facebook or Instagram.
Facebook or Instagram.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So just under your name.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, I will put those links in the show notes if anybody wants to reach out and find out more about streaking.
Awesome. Well, it was a pleasure, Eric. Hopefully we can get some running together soon, and I'll see you at the Nighthawk.
Okay, sounds good.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ultra Marathon Mindset Podcast. I do enjoy being able to spend time with you here each week. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. The show notes for this episode and others are at ultramindsetpodcast.run. You can find this week's guest there. More information, links to their social media and website. There's also a podcast player there if you want to share this episode with somebody who does not normally listen to podcasts and doesn't have a podcast player on their phone. You can also find links there for my Amazon affiliate link, Crush Your Goals course, a short course I made to help you get your goals in order. Also, you can schedule a chat with me. I have my online calendar is there. All of these links are at the sidebar if you're on a laptop, or you have to scroll clear to the bottom if you are on a phone. If you did enjoy this episode and you do know somebody who might like it, take it just a minute, send them a link so they can listen. Remember that an ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running. You need a strong mindset for success no matter what your goal in life. And developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Thank you again for listening. I'll see you next time.